We have Diana Bonici on the phone now. Hi, Diana.
Hello. I don't know what happened there.
It's probably my fault. Diana, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much. Nice to chat to you, Greg.
And you too. The Pursuit of Awesome is your first book. It's out now, is it?
Yes, it is. It was out a few weeks ago in Ireland. And it's a very exciting time for me because usually I don't write books. This is my first one ever. So, yeah.
I love that. I think that's my favourite line of today. Usually I don't write books.
I know. But now I do, apparently. So there you go.
Excellent. Tell us your background, Diana, because you lived in Ireland, but you have a different accent, or you had a different accent, a Moldavian accent, and that was a hindrance, was it?
I suppose it was, in a way, and it wasn't. I mean, I'm originally from Moldova. I moved to Ireland when I was 8 years old with my family about 20 years ago. So we were part of the first influx of immigrants from Eastern Europe. So I suppose to the children in my class, I was very different. And sometimes children who don't know better pick on other kids who are different. And that's the way it happened with me. I had very limited English. I had a very thick accent. So yeah, they picked on me a little bit. But I think overall I had a great experience. And to be honest, you kind of need a bit of adversity in your life to fully appreciate when things are good. So by them picking on me, I kind of pushed myself more and more and more to, you know, learn English quicker, to get better grammar, to just not let them affect me, basically. So while it might have seemed like a hindrance at the time, in the long run, it's done me loads of good.
What it kind of held you back in your career, do you feel, or what you wanted to do?
I would say no, in a way. Absolutely no way, no. As an adult, I think it's helped me out a lot, having a diverse background, because Ireland is so multicultural, and the industry is obviously filled with people from different backgrounds. So I think it's made me more relatable, if anything. So I wouldn't say that it has hindered my career in any way, but I do remember when I was growing up and as a teenager expressing my kind of desires of wanting to be a TV presenter, working in broadcasting, there was one particular adult who was adamant that I would not make it because I was from a different country. But I didn't let that affect me too much. I kind of felt disappointed in them.
Yeah, Diana, but just before we move on, I know you say you didn't let it affect you as such, but it's astonishing that the person who said that perhaps just said it in a throwaway, never gave it another second's thought, yet a number of years later, it's still being referenced. And what I'm sort of getting at there is, you know, maybe we should all think before we speak, because you never know what one sentence or what collection of words put in a certain order will the effect it will have on someone else.
Oh, 100%. You're right. And you're dead right. They did not know at the time what effect that might have had, you know, in the long run, or maybe if I did make it, that I would speak about it. But it's very true. We should think twice. And I'm just lucky that I had really good people around me who supported me. And the way I was brought up, I was always brought up to kind of reach for the stars and strive for my dreams, and anything is possible, even if I wasn't from, you know, the richest background and I had no connections and it seemed impossible to get to where I wanted to. I was always brought up to believe in everything, that everything can happen. So you're right, because of my character, it didn't affect me too much.
But exactly, that's lovely. But you know, what is the sad thing? You've got various groups of people, but for the purpose of the conversation, you have the type of yourself who someone might say that to you, and you say, "Oh, hold on a second, I'm going to prove you wrong here," and then another type of person who may hear it once or twice and go, "You know what? Maybe they're right." And I suppose they're the type of people maybe that should pick up your book and have a read of it.
Absolutely, but the book is kind of really for anybody who has any sort of dream, no matter how big or small, because I've interviewed 45 people who have achieved success from different fields, and in there are stories that are extremely diverse, from Al Pacino's producer who was born in Iran, raised in the UK, and ended up working as a producer in Hollywood, but he had the toughest time in his career, because at a time when he thought that he had made it, you know, having a film commissioned in Ireland with Johnny Depp and Marlon Brando, that project that should have made him actually destroyed his career, because there was a big fraudulent scandal at the time. They were filming in Ballycotton when he went missing. Because of the talent involved with the film, basically it hit the headlines all around the world, and he was known for being a failure. And it took him a long time to kind of build himself back up. He lost all his money, went back to LA, fell between his legs, but you know, kind of every cloud has a silver lining, and because of this project and Marlon Brando's involvement, he was able to meet Al Pacino and go on and, you know, have a great career.
So, and you obviously reached out to a lot of people. I mean, what was the hook? How did you get people involved?
I guess everybody wants to help inspire the young generation, and that was how I pitched it. It is an inspirational, motivational book for any teenager, well, in particular teenagers, who are thinking, you know, I want to be an actor, I want to be a musician, I want to be a TV presenter, I want to be an international sports star. And you will, whether you like it or not, have people telling you, ah, that's never going to happen. Would you ever think of getting a real career, you know, a standard career where you're going to get a monthly salary or a weekly salary? And every person in this book proves that you don't have to conform to the norm, and if you believe hard enough and if you persevere and you have the determination, then you can get there. Because each of them, each of the contributors, from Hozier to Laura Whitmore to Codaline, Rob Carney, Rory McIlroy, they've all had some sort of adversity or things stopping them along the way or diversions, but they managed to kind of just, they had their eye on the end goal and they got there eventually, because at the end of the day, it's not supposed to happen overnight, so...
Well, listen, I mean, to pull those names together, it's an amazing achievement, and now the book is out there. How do people get their hands on your new book, The Pursuit of Awesome, Diana?
It's available in bookstores, so Eason's, Waterstones, all big bookstores, and some independent ones too. And then, of course, you can get it on Amazon as well.
Okay. Fair play, Diana. What's next for you?
There's a few surprises up my sleeve, but I think right now I'm just taking a little break because the book took about 9 months to put together. And then starting book number two, and then there's some TV projects in the pipeline as well.
Brilliant. Diana, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Take care. That's Diana Bonici there.